Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. We'd want to welcome you here for this morning church service. Whether you're a regular attender or member or guest, welcome. May we all be blessed as we fellowship together is my wish and prayer. This morning is a little bit of a cooler, wet morning. There was no dust on the road, and we had received a very warm welcome here. And this morning's topic and the beginning of the topic is from 1 Samuel chapter 10 in verse 12. The last part of the verse says, "And Saul also is Saul also among the prophets?" That is the question that Saul, his acquaintance, the people that knew him, asked. And that inspired me to make a message on that question, which I believe that refers to, is Saul, this is Saul, not the apostle Saul, but the king Saul. It's referring to him and it's saying, Samuel, and the Spirit had come upon him, God's Spirit had come upon him, and he was prophesying with the prophets. He was very unusual. He was a very different person after that. And so as I prayed for a topic and as I thought about a topic, it was like I just about started panicking because I hadn't preached for a couple of weeks, and I knew that I needed to get a new message going. I don't like going to old messages, and I just felt like an empty well, like there was nothing. And I had read the Bible. It wasn't that I hadn't read the Bible or done devotions. And just like that, all of a sudden, this verse hit me. Like, is Saul also among the prophets? It can't be. Like, that's sort of the impression that I get when I read that story in 1 Samuel, that it can't be. Saul and his family, they are not spiritual. It's not a spiritual family. It's a family that is farming. It's a family that is involved in ranching. They have goats and they have asses and they have animals and they are well-to-do and they just don't do that. That's sort of the impression I get when I read that and yet then God came to him and God led him and moved him so that he would become the king. And then this was the question that his friends, his acquaintance. And so that is the introduction of the message. And let's pray before we continue with the message and sing a few songs first. Well, God, this morning we thank you. We bow before you and we praise and adore you for who you are. We thank you that we have your word that we can always look to and that we can go to prepare messages and to feed our souls from. And God, I knew that I had the opportunity to come and serve this congregation, and I needed a topic, and you gave it. So God, this morning I pray for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, as you already have inspired, to continue for me to deliver this message and for the congregation to receive it, and that we can grow, that we can be uplifted, and that we can be inspired, and that we can be encouraged and even be admonished. This morning, I just pray that your Spirit will have free course. I thank you for that Spirit, not just a few, like we sometimes read in the Bible and get the understanding of the Bible that there were not very many people, but yet there were. And so, God, this morning, I just pray that you would help us to long for, to be filled with that Holy Spirit, with that Spirit, the same Spirit that indwelled King Saul, King David, and Samuel, the prophet, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and the many, many people that led. And it always leads in the right direction, into a better life, and into a better opportunity, and into more freed times. And God, it is just the best to be led by your Spirit. And so we have that desire to be led by that Spirit. I just pray for your guidance. Pray that you also lead the Sunday school teachers and the children in the same way, that they can draw closer to you. I pray that you will be with those that are not here this morning, maybe because of illness or problems, just pray that your Spirit would touch them there too. It can touch and it can move us anywhere, wherever we are. I just pray in His name, amen. Let's sing a few songs together first.
Can we all take out our red hymnals and turn to number 232, Nearer My God to Thee? Number 232.
Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. E'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. Though like a wanderer the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'll be
anywhere. Are you weary or are you heavy hearted? 294. Friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears run down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known, brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
And yeah, tell it to Jesus. If you are anxious, if you're worried, and I don't know I believe many of you understand, or many of you have read this story, this happening about Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10, where God called him, and how God called him, and I have decided to read the chapter 9 of 1 Samuel and the first part of chapter 10. But this song led me to kind of make this comment before I read that scripture passage. This passage is about the son of Kish, who was the dad of Saul, and he was a man of power. He was a man of wealth, I understand, and he had more than a few asses, a few donkeys that were lost. But it says here in 1 Samuel 9 that a few of his animals, his donkeys, asses, it says, were lost, and he said to his son Saul to take a servant of his, another worker, go and try and find these donkeys. Go and try and find them. And he couldn't find them. And so then his servant, the worker, suggests to Saul, a prophet, the seer and prophet, refers to the same person, the man of God, to go to him and suggests to go to him and say, if the seer, Samuel, would be able to tell him the way. Now, we could read that into a few ways of it, whether if he would know where those donkeys were or if they should go back home to their father, which Saul said, let's go back home before dad gets worried about us more than about the donkeys. And now, when to listen to his worker, his helper, to go and ask of the man of God, sort of like through the man of God, asking God, what shall we do? Which way shall we go? Shall we go home, or where are the donkeys? Where can we find them? That we could ask the question of whether, what did they go to the seer for? What did they go to Samuel for? And I timed it, and it takes about 10 minutes to read these two chapters. So don't fall asleep in 10 minutes. I'll read it as good as I can, because there's quite a bit of information in there, and I want to draw a lesson out of these two chapters, of a spiritual lesson I want to draw out of it in the New Testament era now. Now we are not in the Old Testament time where there's prophets and seers, but I got to look at myself as the man of God speaking to you today. I'm in between you and God today. I'm the messenger, so to say. And so I want to ask some of us to also tell it to Jesus, whether to a man of God or whether directly to God. We can do that. But in that time, it seemed like they didn't. They went to the prophets to talk to God and find directions. Not all the time, but many times. And so let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Come out of the land of Egypt, and after they were in Canaan for a long time already, and they had prospered, and they had fallen, and they had risen, and they had fallen, or I should say they had stopped following God, and they had started following God, and they had started worshiping idols, and they had stopped worshiping idols. And back and forth they had gone through those judges now, because God led the children of Israel by judges, which the beginner of it was Moses. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt by God's hand. And then there was Joshua, who led them to occupy the land of Canaan. And then from then on, it says, and then there were judges who kind of like prime ministers or presidents or so acted as kings instead of a king. And then the children of Israel said, we want a king. And that was something that God had said, you're not supposed to have a king. I'm going to be your leader. I will direct you. I will tell you what to do and what not to do. And I will do that. And yet the children of Israel wanted to be like the other people, the rest of the world. And God said, he said to Samuel, then give them a king. But tell them this and tell them that. And now we're here up to chapter 9, and this is how the beginning of the kingdom started, of the children of Israel having a king. Then they had King Saul, and then they had King David, and then it followed after that. It just keeps going as you read. And so it says here then now in verse 1, now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, a mighty man of power. So that is how Kish is introduced to us, and he's Saul, his father. And he is of the tribe of Benjamin, who was the last son of Jacob. He was the youngest son of Jacob, and it's also referred to as the smallest tribe, and of very little value, according to Saul, his thought here when he meets Samuel. And then it says in verse 2, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel, and it is exactly what I assumed it was. It's like good to look upon, looking good, of big stature, of renowned. People would look to him. He looks like one that can do things. And that's what the goodlier word stands for. There was none goodlier than him in Israel. And from his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So he was taller and handsome. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise to seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found him, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of Benjamin, but they found them not. So I didn't take the time to go through to the map and look at how big these areas were where they moved through, but it seems like they were quite a distance. They had traveled, and they had walked and looked for these asses now for quite a distance already, like quite a ways away, so far away that they had spent the food that they had taken along. Their bread was gone. And then it says in verse 5, and when they were come to the land of Zup, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come. So in other words, he's saying, let's go back home before Dad gets more worried about us being lost or starved to death or got into some unfallen thing, and he worries about us more than about the lost animals. And he said unto him, behold now, this I understand it to mean, the servant said to Saul, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All he that's... All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go further, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Here, really drawing out of here whether he's saying, should we go back home or should we continue looking for the asses, or does he say he will tell us where the asses can be found? Whichever way, they are going to ask for help. And this, then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here a hand of fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Because before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, came before time called a seer. So it wasn't common to go to a seer or a prophet to ask for help without a present for him. That's first chapter 9. You can read that. You can see there that it's in parenthesis. So it's a comment saying why Saul didn't want to go there without a present. And then verse 10 says, and then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was, and as they went up to the hill to the city, they found young Midians going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered and said to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And as soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterward they eat that be bidden. And now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come unto the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send a man out of the land of Benjamite, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I speak of thee and of, this same shall reign over my people. And Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where is the seer's house in Sam's place? For ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for the asses, can you imagine? He hadn't even asked about the asses yet. And as for the asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribe of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought him into the parlor, and made them sit in the chiefest places among them that were bidden, when they were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it before thee. And the cook took up the shoulders and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house, and they arose early, and called to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid thy servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand out still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And then chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed, so now Samuel is saying what will happen to Saul from here on in, when thou art parted from me today, and thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin of Zelah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sword for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and the other carrying three loaves of bread, and the other carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? And it shall come to pass that when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet the company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man, and let it do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offering and to sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, What is this that has come to pass, has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, But who is their father? Therefore it became the proverb, like a saying, Is Saul also among the prophets? And when they had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place, and Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, Whither went ye? And he said, To seek the asses. And when we saw that they were not nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, To tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, He told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spoke, he told him not. Until thus far, though. And so I have read here now these portions here, and there is so much that we could take out of there. But I wanted to take out of there today is that the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied, and he had another heart, and he was a changed person, and he did unusual things. He was a changed person. The Spirit of God, the Word, and God just took him and changed him, and he became the king of Israel. And And so I want to draw out of here is we can look at this and kind of say Saul had no option here. He was now appointed by God, and God put his spirit upon him, and now Saul was changed, and he was another person. He had no other, he was different. His acquaintance, the people that knew him before time, they noticed that he was now a different person. In verse 11, it says that. And so I want to, in short here, I want to say Paul was directed to God's seer, prophet, or to Samuel, we could say, to ask whereabout his dad's donkeys were. God used the lost donkey to bring Saul to the man of God. God spoke to Samuel before Saul got to ask him where the donkeys were, and God told Samuel what to do and say and who it was coming to him, as we read there. It just, there is so much there, or if we were Saul, we would both kind of say, man, what is going on here, isn't it? Samuel knew that Saul was going to come the next day, and Samuel was obedient to God and did exactly what God had said he was supposed to do. I don't know if you have ever had the experience, but there is these experiences that we get that we have something that we think that is very important. We have something that we think really has to be done, like these asses needed to be found, and they were doing their utmost to do it. But when he met Samuel, he never asked him the question, can you help us and can you tell us where these donkeys are? Because the way Samuel met him and said, now you're supposed to kind of stop worrying about what he was about to do, he wanted there. And he never asked the question anymore. But then when I also think about Samuel, it doesn't tell us that he had this happen often before. Even though Samuel was, I get a little bit lost here right now. Samuel was the one that was, as a little boy, given for God's work, right? And so Samuel is one of the times where it seemed like he is extraordinarily used by God. And so God spoke to Samuel before Saul got to him, and God told Samuel what to do and say and who it was coming to him. The people that knew Saul realized it was not the same Saul, as if they were surprised that Saul was with the group of prophets, as if it, in a way, saying, it can't be. Is Saul not the son of Kish? Kish is, in other words, I'm reading here, in other words, they're saying, Kish's sons, they don't prophesy. They're not that kind of people. They are, and all that is important to there, the power that it says here, that Kish was a man of power and well known, mighty, a many man of power, that was important to them. They were, and their donkeys were lost, and they needed to be found. They needed to be found. Before I continue with the service, and I want to now go to the New Testament, to the spiritual side of it, in our time, and apply it to our time, we want to kneel for prayer and sing a song and continue with the next part of the service. We want to encourage you to pray and say to God, I want to encourage you to say in your prayer to God, speak to me today as you spoke to Saul. Show me. Show me which direction am I supposed to go. And would that be a wrong prayer? Absolutely not. Coming to God and asking him for help is always right. So if you are able to, would you kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus? May God bless our prayers. Amen.
Number 96, for those that are able, let's stand.
Thanks again for that song. As if I'm thinking of, that's the song that King Saul should have written. Heaven came down and filled his soul. But he didn't. And I don't want to dwell and I don't want to go to the rest of Saul's life. But we know that he didn't use it and he didn't follow it through. He failed miserably and he died that way. And he made those choices. And we have those choices also to make, and we can make those choices to follow God or not to follow God. And I'm so thankful that God today calls us, and the Bible says he calls all of us. Like, today, we don't have to be a shoulder height taller than other people. We don't have to be born out of the tribe of Benjamin, or we don't have to be born in the Israel tribe, and so God will call us and fill us with his spirit like he did Saul. Today, and the message is that the Bible says all believers are filled with his spirit. All believers are part in that spirit and have part of that spirit. And Romans says, and if not, then the question is, are you really a Christian? Are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? And so the motive for this message is to encourage us to look for that and to want that. As I was pondering that, and after that, I found that scripture passage, and that passage came upon my mind to build a message on. I thought about it this way, and I felt like saying, I want to do this message in German today, because it seemed like that's where I was going. Just in my thoughts were rolling before I learned English. And so I want to say, I've heard people say in German, Matzun jessel jetag nusch te dauna. Du war ich nusch von weiter. And yet they are in church, those people that will say something like that. With such spirituality as some of these, and like Saul now had to do there, they claim and they say, I don't want to have nothing to do with something like that. And I wish and pray and encourage us that thought has never ended. Yet it's possible for us to have had that thought. I'm thinking about this one time when I was still very little, very young in Mexico. We had the Bibelgeschichte, you know, that Bible storybook with those pictures. And me and my cousins, we were kind of sitting around and visiting, I don't know if a weekday or on a Sunday afternoon or so. And we started looking into that book, and we were paging through that and looking at those pictures. And then I come upon this picture where Solomon is building the temple, and here's these people carrying these big blocks on that picture on their shoulders, carrying up those big rocks, building the temple. And it looked like it was absolutely a very in building the temple. And my little mind at that time kind of perceived that was what people did in heaven. They worked that hard in heaven. Because it was in God's book, the Bible story book, this story was, so it came from heaven, this story. My little mind thought that. And then I said to my cousins, and I don't want to go to heaven because I have to work there that hard. Good thing it was that little mind that said something like that. But that's what we can sometimes say without understanding things. And if that is how we really feel, we have verses here that tell us to be a Christian, to be a Jesus follower, and if we claim to have been where that song just talked about, that we had been at the cross, and that we are now waiting for eternity with Jesus, we got to have that spirit with us. The New Testament says so. And let's start with John 14, verse 23. There is so much scripture that backs that up. And so I have limited verses this morning, but they are in the Bible, and we have to believe that they are true. I believe that story that I just read in 1 Samuel there, it's an absolute true story. It happened. It's not just a story that somebody thought up and that didn't happen. It happened. Saul was changed like that. God moved was so true. These verses are that I'm going to be sharing right now. These verses are God's word. They are the true verses. So in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, it says this way, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. When Jesus says here, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him, means God, Jesus and the Father, so to say, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, will move into this heart here and give the person a different heart and a different mind and move him to do things he didn't do before. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus says here. Then we need to really read the Bible and say, where do I want to be then and what do I want to do? Don't we want to go to heaven? If you, like, I have really been sorry for saying that when I was a little boy, that I don't want to go to heaven. I literally remember kind of shivering and getting goosebumps when I said that, and my cousin said to me, but what are you going to do? The earth is going to burn up, and it's going to be one fire and brimstone, and you will not survive. Heaven is, boy, I said that. I said, oh, no, I won't. And then I said, what are you going to do? Well, I will dig under the house and under the concrete there, and the fire won't get me there. That's the little mind said that. Can you believe that? That's what I said. Later, I learned, no, the fire will also get there, and it's all going to be. And I don't want to stay on this earth anymore. I want to go to heaven. I've changed my mind. Good thing, right? I want to encourage you all to have a changed mind. Let's all have this mind of we want to go to heaven. And in order to go to heaven, we have to have a different spirit. We have to have been changed. We have to have a different heart. Our flesh heart, that little boy like me had then, couldn't go. I had limited childhood imaginations then, but when you grow up and when we come to more to knowledge, we have to be changed. We have to come to Jesus. And that's what Jesus says here in verse 23, that if a man will love me and will come to me and keep his word, then the Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. That means then the Spirit will move in. Every true Christian needs to have this Spirit. And so for kind of like a fulfilling statement here, let's read up to verse 27 in this passage here. In verse 23 again, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and I and my Father will love him, and we will come and come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, that whatsoever I have said unto you, the disciples. And then verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My little heart was very afraid of having to stay under that concrete or something. I was very afraid of that. And so, good thing that God drew us. Good thing that God drew me. So then let's go to Romans chapter 8, where it also talks of the Spirit. Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 really tell us how we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to be as Christians when we have been changed. How it looks. We are not in the flesh. When we have proclaimed to be Christians, when we say we have God and we want to go to heaven, then this has to happen to us. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Ye are changed people, it says. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. These are strong words, but these are God's words that says. So if we claim to be able to go to heaven, and yet we have the idea that we don't want to be spiritual and have nothing to do with such spirituality, what does this verse say to us? He's none of his. This saved, and you're not ready to go to heaven. You're not washed clean. If that's what you really say, if that's what you really claim, that you don't want nothing to do with spirituality. Now, don't get me wrong. There is lots of people that seemingly are way too spiritual. But that's a very fine line to think about that and say that. I have lots of times prayed about this. I don't have that scripture verse in front of me right now, and I don't know exactly where it is. But Paul says there is some that preach Christ's attention were not in the right frame of mind, and they didn't do it in the right way. But he said, nevertheless, the word is preached. So in other words, I want to say to you, and I say to myself, those that we think that are so way too much spiritual, leave them up to God and leave them alone. Just worry about yourself. Be spiritual enough to be God's child. Because the Bible says to us that we ought to be spiritual to go to heaven. We have to be changed people to go to heaven. And if we're not changed people, danger. We're not ready. Then we're not ready. Let's look back up here in Romans chapter 8 to verse 6. In peace. See, if I had never changed from that little boy, I wouldn't be here. I would not have peace. I would not have comfort. I would not have courage. I don't know. I would be a miserable person if nothing had ever changed. Because that's what we're says, size 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life in peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There has to be a change to be subject to God's law. In order to love God and to want to go to heaven to be with God, the Bible says we have to be changed. And if we're not changed, then it cannot be. It says, "And neither indeed can be." So then, they that are in the flesh can to the Romans who say they are Christians. And he says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man not have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Then, as I was contemplating this, I started asking the question, am I right to say something like that? Am I understanding that right? Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 7, there is more that confirms this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. If it wasn't like that, then Jesus wouldn't have said this in Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus himself says that there is a lot of people. There's people that will say, Lord, Lord. And then in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus says, and some will say, we have done this and we have done that and we have done that. And he says, and I never knew you. Jesus and God has to know us, and that Spirit has to be in there. Then in verse 22 and up to verse 23, it says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. We don't want to hear those words ever, do we? We want to hear, welcome, thou faithful, good servant, don't we? We want to hear, that's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear Jesus ever have to hear those words. We need to hear Jesus' words now, and then we will hear the welcome. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. See, it's not God's will for any to perish and not to go to heaven. Verse 4 says here, who, that means God, will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Peter 3, 9. It talks of all the things that God is going to do, the prophecies and the things that God said would happen yet before he would come back, all the things that will come to pass up to verse 9. It talks about that. And then in verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All need the Spirit. All need to be changed. God doesn't want the death of a sinner. Just as God calls Saul to go to Samuel and be anointed as king, God calls all people now by the Holy Spirit to come to repentance and in faith. Today, you don't need to be taller than other people. You don't need to be good-looking or have been born into a special family to be called God's child. And so I want to say it's always good and right to go to the man of God to ask for directions, to ask for help when one can't find the way. As I was contemplating on trying to put this message together and make some sense of it, these days it's very easy to just go to Google. You're going to ask. But the question is, are all those answers that there are the right answers? No, they aren't. Not all of them. I also don't believe that God wanted us to go just to Google all the time and find the answers. Sometimes God wants you to go to his book and ask for answers, or to his man. The man that God has put in place for you that can give you the answer and that will give you the answer. And when they don't have it, at the moment when you ask for it, they will look for it and they will find the answer. Lots of times now, it's God's people are bypassed. And people think they're in the right direction, and they're not, because they're following somebody who has a totally different motive than what we have as a whole conference. They have a totally different motive. They want to go totally somewhere else than where we think we should be going. And so I want to encourage us to really think about that. So I want to give an example. Not always when we go to the man of God, so to say, we will get the answer that we are looking for. Now, I want to share an example, and I'm not disappointed anymore, but at the moment, I was disappointed. So I was teaching Sunday school many years ago, 30-plus years ago, and I had a class, and I had been teaching a couple years already, and now all of a sudden, I had a class due, and I was pretty close to Mr. Johnson, Reverend Abe Johnson. You remember him, many of you, and we were neighbors. And I had asked him lots of questions already, but now I kind of mentioned to him, and I said, I have a problem with my Sunday school class. And he just kind of looked at me and left me alone with it. Then I felt like, but I should ask him what to do. And then I went there, I also didn't know, feel like I didn't know how to prepare lessons and stuff, and so I went there and I phoned him up and said, could I come over? I have a few questions. I have a question for you. And so I came over, and this was now more on how. And so I didn't say to him, I have I have a question, how to discipline these boys or anything. I asked him the question of how to prepare a lesson and how to make it so that I could teach this Sunday school right. And he looked at me and he said, and you said you had a problem? And then I said, yeah, I have a problem. And then he said, I thought you had a problem with the boys. And I said, yeah, I do, but I wonder how I can make a lesson and how I can handle this. And then he said, go on your knees, go home and go on your knees, and God is going to tell you what to do. And that to prepare a lesson. And here he told me to just go home and pray. But I did go home, and I prayed. I went on my knees, literally, because he had told me to, and it changed, and all of a sudden those boys behaved totally different. And I could tell you many more times when I have asked different questions. I remember one time, I remember many things, at youth, actually before I was saved, Mr. Kaler, Jake Kaler, was youth leader, and he was presented his lesson, and then he kind of said, any questions? And my hand was for always asking these questions, and I kept my hand down. And then later, as a Sunday school teacher, at Sunday school teachers' meetings, always a minister present. And then we, as Sunday school teachers, would ask questions like, what does the Bible say about this, and what does the Bible say about that? And I had so many questions, and I started feeling bad that I was always the one asking the questions. I want to say I was wrong feeling bad. Mr. Unra told me one time, and he said, it's never wrong to ask those questions. So ask questions when you have questions. Somebody is there that can answer your questions and help us along. Have you ever considered to go and ask a minister to help to figure things out? Have you ever looked for someone for something and could not find it? Nowadays, as I already have said, when have them, but we still have other issues and other problems that we sometimes have questions on. I wrote down here, nowadays, if our donkey or something gets lost, it probably would be someone else would post it on Facebook or something, and we'd find it. We wouldn't have to go to the man of God. Can you see how lame we become because of all of that? The donkeys were found in the Old Testament time, and God used that. If he had not gone to Samuel, Samuel wouldn't have been able to. Yes, there is a need for God today. I kind of wrote down here, sometimes we have Facebook and we have social media and all of this online there, that where we seemingly don't need God anymore because there's other people always giving us the answers. But yes, there is a need for God. But do we go and ask God or a man of God for help? Asking a man of God is always the right thing to do. Asking God for help is always the right thing to do. Sometimes we won't get the answer we're looking for. Note Saul, when he first met Samuel, he never asked if he could help him find the donkeys. Samuel had been warned of God the day before, and Saul would come. The word told after Samuel had done with Saul what God told him to do, then the donkeys were found. Do you believe it was a mistake for Saul to go to Samuel instead of going home and say his father's donkeys couldn't be found? I don't think so. God directed it. 1 Samuel 1 verse 9 states that Saul, his father, Kish, was mighty and a man of power. This gives me to understand Saul had a dependable home, but asked for he had at his disposal. 1 Samuel 9 verse 4 states Saul went a long way from home, looking for his father's asses. Saul knew he had to stop looking for the lost asses and go home before his father started worrying for his safety. Verse 5. Do we know when it is time to stop and ask God for help? Friends, if you find yourself having gone too far from home, ask God how to get back home. Jesus will take you home every time. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way home. Go to the way is open. When we are on that way, the Bible tells us we must be in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, today I thank you again for your word. I thank you that you inspire us, and I thank you that you have led us, and I thank you that you move us. I thank you that you didn't leave me alone as a little boy that didn't want to go to heaven, but that you gave me a want to and a will and a way to find out how to go to heaven. And so, God, I pray that we all here this morning and anyone listening in later or so would want to go to heaven. And Jesus, God, I thank you that you have made the way, that the sacrifice has been made and the price has been paid, the penalty is paid, and the punishment has been given for the sins and the wrongdoings that we have all done. And we can receive the forgiveness of that. We thank you because of Jesus. I thank you that you will help us to look and to find it and to hold on to it for the rest of our lives. God, I pray for your blessing on this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we kneel for prayer, I have a prayer request here, and I also have an acceptance of membership here. And so I want to do that acceptance now. Please accept as members in the Zomerfeld Mennonite Church, Peter and Sarah Wolf. And we march to accept them today. They have been announced. And today we want to accept them as members in this conference, in this church. Before I do that, I want to ask these few questions here that you probably were made aware of. If you don't mind, would you be able to stand to answer these three questions? And so the first question is, and it's probably gone over with you, do you confess to be born again believers and have been baptized upon the confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Thank you. Secondly, do you have a love for the Word of God and believe to be in love and to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 3:11 states, "For no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Thanks for that. And please welcome them. Before we kneel for prayer, please pray for our niece, Natalie. She has been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a type of blood cancer, and has been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks. At this point, it is affecting her lungs and heart. Your prayers for her and her family and doctors are much appreciated. John and Marge Penner. So please remember them, not just this morning here, but also through the week. If you're able to, would you kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus? May God bless our prayers. Amen.
Can we all turn to number 66?
I was lost in sin when Jesus found me, but he rescued me. All glory to his name, and the cords of worldly pleasures bound me till he saved me from sin and shame. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. Oh, the bells of heaven now are ringing, for I hear their tones within my ransomed soul, and my heart is filled with joyful singing, since the Savior hath made me whole. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. Oh, the joy when we shall meet in glory in the mansions of my Father's home above, and through endless ages tell the story of long arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne.
Good morning. I don't have any announcements this morning, but I would like to invite you all to our fellowship every last Sunday of the month. So I'd invite you to join us, bring a meal to share, and join us for a time of fellowship. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for those songs. I just feel like they were right with us. They matched the message. And I didn't say that at the beginning of the service, but Abe Heppner asked me to trade with him from last Sunday to this Sunday, and last Sunday's songs probably were very different than today. But last Sunday I also still didn't have this message, because I truly had just relaxed when he phoned me, and I don't have to preach next Sunday, I can relax. But then Sunday I got this topic. So I trust that you have been blessed and be encouraged. Please consider that we need to be spiritually filled. We need to have God's Spirit to go to heaven. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. God bless, and have a wonderful meal then, and a good day and a good week. God be with you.